want to speak to you just a little while this morning about teaching your children how to read the Bible. If you don't have children, teaching you yourself how to read the Bible, because there's obviously a lot of overlap here. What your children need, you and I need as well. So I have just one verse I want to read to you, John 5, verse 39. Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Let's pray together. I'll wait just a moment. Some people coming in. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank Thee so much for the gospel. We thank Thee for Jesus Christ, its sum, its substance, the mediator, the minister, the testator, the surety of the gospel. And we pray that as we read the Scriptures and teach our children how to read them, that Thy Holy Spirit will help us to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will learn to read the Scriptures through Christological spectacles. We ask all this out of free grace in Jesus' name. Amen. How to read the Bible. Well, the Bible's a big book. Parts of it are hard to understand. Sometimes certain parts of it seem irrelevant to our daily needs. So, how do I really get into the Bible? And how can I get my children really into reading the Scriptures for their profit? The question this morning is not how do we get our children to do perfunctory reading of the Scriptures, so that they do the 5-minute reading every night before they go to bed on their own. Obviously, that's important, that they read daily the Word of God. But how do you get them to really read the Bible, and yourself as well? Well, first of all, you need to teach your children and yourself the reasons for reading the Bible. And the first reason is, we read the Bible because it's God's Word. It's like no other book in all the world. Other books can reform us, can inform us, but only the Bible can transform us and conform us to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we're so prone, and when we've grown up with the Word of God, the Holy Bible, to get familiar with words like that. The Word of God. Did you ever stop and think about that? The Word of God. You know, God has sent you, what, a 1,200-page email, a huge book, personal to you. Thomas Watson said, the Bible is like a love letter sent to every reader who reads it. And with authority, he's speaking every word of that word as a living God of the universe. This is by far the most important thing you can ever do. Read the Bible and worship God as you do so. It's the Word of God. Secondly, we must read the Bible because it is truth. The Bible is altogether true. There's a lot of things in life that are uncertain. A lot of things we're told to fear that never happen. Truth is hard to find in today's world. But here you have truth. Here you have an author who cannot lie, an author who knows everything, an author who never makes a mistake. And he's divine, and we have to do with him, and he will judge us on the judgment day. And he tells us truth, truth about ourselves, truth about himself, truth about the way of salvation. Oh, children, say to your children, read the Bible for truth. It's rock solid. Stand on it. Build on it. You'll be safe forever. Charles Spurgeon said, the deeper you dig into Scripture, the more you find that it is a great abyss of truth. And third, the Bible is full of wisdom. Do you want your children to be wise? Get them to read the Bible. Children, do you want to be wise? Wise unto salvation. Read the Bible. Paul says to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:15, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And the Bible is not only full of wisdom for salvation. The Bible is full of wisdom for practical daily living in every possible way. Everything you need to know is in the Bible. You really don't need a library, ultimately, I can't believe I'm saying this, but ultimately more than one book, because everything is in the Bible. Your friend may be wise. You may go to him for wisdom, that's good. But your friend can be wrong. And the Bible's never wrong. God never lacks wisdom. His word is full of it. And fourthly, you read the Bible for spiritual benefit. It's like no other book that way. You know, I've read a lot of books in my life, and I've enjoyed them, and I've fed off of them, and I've learned from them, I've been informed by them, I've learned more about the Bible from them. That's great. And certain statements, Samuel Rutherford, Martin Luther, Calvin, when I read them the first time, they jumped out at me. They stuck with me. They were sweet. They were comforting. They were convicting. They were powerful. But I've never read a statement in any book other than the Bible that just gripped my whole being and made me feel I was under the authority of a divine message. It's something different. There's a different level here of spiritual benefit from reading the Bible. And it has to do with the Holy Spirit, who's wedded to the Bible. He's the ultimate author of the Bible. And so he speaks through the Bible to our hearts with just a tremendous life-shaping, transforming, Christ-conforming power that you just can't get from other books. So teach your children, for these four reasons, and you can think of 10 more, why they should read the Bible. Now, let's get practical. What are some practical helps for reading the Bible? Well, first of all, you need to teach your children that the goal is not just to speed read the Bible or read X number of chapters a day so you can get through the Bible in 1 year. I mean, that's okay to follow a plan like that. But the goal is not to read the Bible just to read the Bible. The goal, the real goal, is communion with God. I want to commune with God. So in Bible reading, we should teach our children there should be a two-way exchange. Now, recently I visited someone in another city who couldn't speak back to me. And do you know how hard it is to have a 40-minute conversation with somebody who can't speak back to you? You run out of words to say pretty quick. It's difficult. Well, when God is speaking to us through the Word of God, it's wonderful that we keep receiving and receiving and receiving, but God wants us to commune back with Him. So communication is a two-way street. God's way of communicating to us is through the Bible, And our way of communing back to him, the Bible either read or preached, and our way of communing back to him is through prayer. And so the best way to read the Bible, if you want real communion with God, is to just marinate it verse by verse by verse in prayer. One way, of course, is to pray over every verse and pray it back to God. Another way is to read several verses, get the major thought, pray about it, read them again, pray again. But you see, the goal in reading the Bible is not to rush through it, but to pray through it and to aim for communion with God. So don't look so much for completing a checklist of passages read, but look for the Bible to be a channel of grace to your soul. Now commit to a time. There's an old Dutch saying that says, when the form is gone, all is gone. That means to say, if you don't have a time of daily devotion, what's going to happen is soon you won't be doing it at all, because you'll backslide in other areas of your life as well. So have a time. It's fine to do more than your time. That's great. You spontaneously want to read the Bible in some unexpected time. But always have a time. And try to stick to that time. And teach your children that. The Bible is not a hit-and-run book. When it becomes a hit-and-run book that you just suddenly do at a spur of the moment, then you don't do for a week, and then you do a lot of for a day, it will soon be a hit-and-miss book. It won't be long before you won't do it at all. So set aside time each day, even if it's 10 minutes, to read the Bible. And find a place. Best thing to do is to find a quiet place and to teach your children to do that, preferably probably in their own bedroom with no music going on, nothing going, plugging into their ears, totally dedicated to quiet time with the Bible. Otherwise, they'll be hopelessly distracted. And develop a plan. A plan, a reading plan. Don't flip open the Bible every day to where you just sort of feel like reading. Once in a while, that's not. If you're under deep affliction, you might say, I just want to read Hebrews 12 again about how to handle affliction. That's fine. But as a rule, move through the Bible. Whole Bible makes a whole Christian. Especially as children get older, you want to teach them to read the whole Bible. Is it okay to read New Testament in the morning and Old Testament in the evening, vice versa? Oh, of course. But the point is, over a period of time, read the whole of Scripture. Now, there are 1,440 minutes in one day. If you read at a slow pace for 15 minutes a day, which is 1% of your life, 1% of your life, you'll actually read through the whole Bible in 1 year. Bible's a big book, but a year is a long time. In 1 year, you can read the Bible by giving 1% of your life to God communing with you privately through the Word of God. Is that too much to ask? I don't think so. So tell your children that. Now, how do you read it? You know, I've never found anything quite better than Richard Greenham's little booklet, which has never been reprinted since 1599, on how to read the Bible. It's got 8 thoughts. It's about 15 pages. And I'm just going to give the gist of it to you right now. Although I think I mentioned this at a conference in Mount Zion in Florida, and I think Jeff Pollard is the pastor there who does Chapel Library. I think he's putting it now, finally, in a little free booklet that you can hand out. So if you're interested, I'll try to get some. I think it's either coming out this week or next week, or it's maybe come out a week or two ago. But he asked me about it after I spoke about it, so I passed it on to him, and I'm really happy he's doing it. So basically what Greenham says is this. You read the Bible, you just have to remember 8 words. And this is what you can tell your children as well. Number one, diligence. Diligence must be pursued in reading the Bible more than reading things secular, Greenham says. And he says, like the man digging for hid treasure. That's how you should read the Bible. So you don't just come to read the Bible. Oh, yeah, I got to read the Bible for 10 minutes now. But you get excited about it. You pray. You pray as you turn to read, and you read it with diligence. Thomas Watson said, read every day until your hearts are warmed. Let it only not inform you, but inflame you. Well, that won't happen every day, I'm afraid. But that's the goal. Number two, wisdom. You have to be wise in how you read the Bible. If you're just getting into reading the Bible, you don't turn to Ezekiel and try to understand all the visions first thing, or the last half of Daniel, or the book of Revelation even. But you turn to sections of the Bible. Maybe read through the Gospels first or something like that to get in the habit of reading the Bible. And generally, when you're very young and when your children are young, when they were like 6, 7, 8, 9, we try to get our children to read those portions of Scripture that are more story-oriented and so on. When they get about 8 or 9, they start getting doctrinal concepts. They can start thinking abstractly better. Then maybe other portions of Scripture like Paul's letters, they can start grasping a bit more, or epistles of John. But when they're like 10 or over, just read through the whole Bible. And with the KJV Study Bible, they've got notes. If there's words that are difficult for them, they're explained in the notes very simply. And so you teach your children then how to use those notes, how to read those notes, and you'll be surprised what they can understand. But use wisdom. Third, preparation. Greenham is really nice here. He says there's three things we need to do to be prepared to read the Bible. First, we approach the Scripture with reverence, determined to, like Mary, to lay up God's word in our hearts, Luke 2:19. Second, we approach Scripture with faith in Christ, looking to him as the Messiah, who can open our hearts as he did the travelers to Emmaus, Luke 24:27. And third, we must come to the Scriptures with a sincere desire in our hearts to be taught by God, Proverbs 17, verse 16. Now, Martin Luther says something about this that I just found really helpful. He says, when I come to read the Bible, I first shake the whole tree. He compared it to reading to getting fruit off of a tree. I first shake the whole tree to see what ripest fruit may fall. I then shake every limb. And when I've shaken every limb, I shake every branch. When I've shaken every branch, I shake every twig. And then I look under every leaf. In other words, you start with the whole picture. What is this chapter all about? And then you begin to look at chunks of the chapter, then you begin to look at individual verses of the chapter and even individual words, and study, search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. And one way of doing that is as you meditate on the Word of God, that you, it's the fourth word, meditation. Meditation. One way of doing that is as you read the Word of God, you read slowly, thoughtfully, meditatively. And that way it will help you limb by limb, branch by branch, twig by twig, and finally leaf by leaf. But at the end of your reading, one of the best things to do is to read in the morning, of course, because it can stay with you all day. And one of the best things to do is to memorize one verse from what you read that day. And I would to God I had kept this up all my life, but I did it for a couple years when I was a teenager. But I wish my parents had told me to do it when I was very young, because when you're 8, 9, 10, from 8 to about 18, that is the prime time to memorize Scripture. 20s, yeah, still goes really well. 30s, boy, it just didn't go quite as well as, you know, when I was a teenager. And then 40s and up, sometimes it's challenging to memorize the Scripture. We can memorize it for a day, but it slips out of our memory bank easily. what you fill your mind with when you're young, particularly in that range of 8 to 18, will stay with you your whole life. Most of the scriptures that I have memorized that I can say from the pulpit without looking down at my notes, most of them I memorized in that 2-year period of my life. They stuck with me. You listen to bad music, you listen to risque music, you listen to things that really don't edify your soul. Well, someday, if the Lord spares you, you live to be 80, 85, and you start to get Alzheimer's, a dementia of some form, and the things you probably remember the most are those things. You know, I think I told you before that my mother was married to my father for 52 years, and the last year and a half of her life, couldn't even remember who he was. But she could sing Psalter 140, all 4 stanzas, word for word, by heart. Because she memorized that when she was a child. So you teach your children, use examples like this, and teach them how important it is that they fill their mind with good things when they're young. 5, fellowship. The actual word that Greenham uses here is conference. But what he means is you confer. You confer with one another about what you read. So a great thing is to teach your children, talk to your friends about what you're reading about. Or maybe if you got a really close spiritual friend your kids have, it would be great for them to read the same chapter every morning and then talk about it at school. Wouldn't that be neat? Wow. And the kids would be like accountability partners to each other. Did you read Proverbs 4 this morning? What did you get out of it? You know? That would be fantastic. But fellowship. Iron sharpens iron. One of the problems with sermons and with Bible reading is that people come out of church and talk about other things. Or they do Bible reading, they walk away and they do other things. The Puritans used to say, let the Word of God linger in your mind by conferring about it to other people. It will hold better. You as parents, you go home, you repeat the sermon to your children at the level of their age. Say you've got 9-year-old son. You try to repeat the whole sermon at 9-year-old level. That'll be very interesting. Not only interesting, but guess what will happen as you do it? You'll remember the sermon better on Monday than if you hadn't talked to anybody about it. Because there's something about regurgitating something that keeps it in the memory bank longer. 6, faith. You have to read with faith. To read without faith, said Martin Luther, to read the Bible without faith, is to walk in darkness. It's to read in vain, he said. Horatius Bonar, we must not only lay the Bible up within us, but we must transfuse it through the whole texture of our soul through faith. Martin Luther compared it this way. He said, if a woman bakes something and she leaves out the main ingredient, it doesn't taste well. It just doesn't work. And he said, the main ingredient in Bible reading is faith. If you don't read with faith, the flavor of the scripture is not good. Not because there's anything wrong with the scripture, but because you're not really eating it, drinking it in with the means that God has provided to do so. And 7, practice. Practice means that the Bible must be done. It's a good thing to be a student of the Word, said Dr. Lloyd-Jones, but only in order to be a practicer and experiencer of the Word. In other words, the goal of Bible reading is obedience. Now, Dr. Barrett is always, I just proofread his wonderful book, Complete in Him, which is, by the way, coming out another month or so. And I want you all to get it. It's a great book. Everything is in Christ is the theme of the book. Every part of our salvation. But one of the things he keeps repeating in that book, I think he repeats it many times because he wants to ingrain it in you, is you learn to think rightly, you learn to think scripturally, then you'll learn to live scripturally. If you read the Bible and you obey the Bible, you'll have a very full and a beautiful life. And so we aim for believing reading not only, but we aim for believing obedience, willing obedience, submissive obedience, loving obedience, wholehearted obedience, prayerful obedience, dependent obedience, childlike obedience. That's the goal of our Bible reading. We want to do the Word of God. So, like that old Scottish story you remember, when that man came home from church earlier than anticipated, and his wife heard the back door slam, she said, "Donald, is it you already?" He said, "Yes." Minister was, on that rare occasion, a little shorter than normal. And she said, "Is the sermon done already?" "No, my dear. No, my dear. It's been said. It has yet to be done." That's the way we should view our Bible reading. You don't close your Bible. Tell your children that. You don't close your Bible and say, "Oh, now that's done. Now what do I have to do next?" No, you close your Bible, okay, of course, and you've got to go on with other duties, but you ask the Lord, that's the eighth word, prayer, you ask the Lord to pray to bless what you've read throughout the day. Because if you don't pray, it doesn't stick with you. Charles Spurgeon said, "Backsliders begin with dusty Bibles and they end with filthy garments." So read the Bible as a love letter sent from God, said Thomas Watson, and put it into use and pray over it, and it will profit you. Now, so how do you, let me give you a couple other further helps before we close. This is going to be really quick. Seven practical helps. Number one, teach your children to study one Bible book at a time. Usually to read through the whole book and then go back and do it more carefully. Then teach them to study one chapter at a time. So if you read through the whole Bible book, say you read through 1 John, all five chapters, and then get a feel for the whole book. Read the introduction maybe in the Bible study so you get a feel for it. And then go back and read one chapter at a time and say, what does this chapter teach me about Christ? What doctrines are taught in this chapter? What are the leading characters of this chapter? What are the main events of this chapter? And then, three, you study various subjects in the Bible. Teach your children how to use a concordance. Teach them how to study basic things. Like maybe in their private devotion time they want to do a study of the life of Noah or Elijah or Peter. That's a great thing. Study their character. Study Jesus. Study his character. Study his parables. Study his miracles. That's a good thing. And then study the basics of sound principles on how to interpret the Bible. R.C. Sproul has a little book called Knowing Scripture, which he gives basic principles of how to interpret Scripture, comparing Scripture with Scripture, for example. How and when to take the Bible literally. What methods of interpretation should be used for various genres of Scripture. How do you interpret Revelation different than you interpret the Gospel of John? It'd be great to have your kids read a book like that and get a basic understanding, and you too, basic understanding of how to interpret the Bible. And then you try to teach your children how to avoid pitfalls that result from reading the Bible in an imbalanced way. Teach them not to read too fast. Teach them not to read without praying. Teach them not to read just to fill their mind with truth. Teach them not to be proud of what they know. Teach them the don'ts of reading as well as the do's. And then finally, in conclusion, teach them the joy of reading the Bible by living a life that shows how much you get out of reading the Bible. Let them hear from your conversations with your wife, with them, with strangers who visit your home, or friends who come in, or people who engage in family worship with you, that you are talking about the Word of God. And that this is your favorite subject, speaking about the Bible, about Jesus, about the things of God. Our kids grew up, of course, we had many, many visitors in our home. Many professors would come and teach. What an incredible opportunity we had. It was just precious. You know, they'd live in our home for 5 days and teach a quick course, and they'd fly back. They'd come to all the mealtimes, and we'd have all these theological, spiritual, biblical discussions, and my kids would hear all these gifted men pray at the table, and what a blessing for them, an indirect blessing that we had. You may not have that privilege, but you could. a little bit. You can invite God-fearing people over to your home who naturally speak well and easily about the Lord, and you can have a discussion in front of your kids about the Lord. Your kids will hear it. Those are good things to do. So reading the Bible can be hard, but teach your children it's always worth the effort in the end, and teach them that true joy comes from reading and living according to the Word of God. As we close, I just want to introduce to you Peter and Melinda from South Africa. You want to just stand up a minute so people can see you? They minister for a number of years now in a rural area, and this brother is training in groups of 10 or so. Pastors from Zimbabwe were coming over the border. Sometimes they swim across the river to get there and things, and it's risky. And he's training them and sending them back to Zimbabwe, and also building up a congregation. And we've just been enjoying meeting them and getting to know them. And they're here just for this morning, but they're on furlough now for a few months. And also we have Virginia with us from China, if you would stand up. Virginia works in a seminary in China. She actually got her degree from Westminster Seminary, and she understands English and Chinese equally fluently. So she's got Chinese people coming to her asking her questions about America, and we Americans are asking her questions about Chinese, trying to understand each other. So she wears a lot of different hats. She spoke at our seminary as well, and please remember her in prayer, because she's got a very challenging position and an important position in China also. So let's pray. Lord, we lift up Virginia and Peter and Melinda and their loved ones and friends, and pray that thou wilt bless their ministries. And please grant that their lives would continue to be very, very fruitful, and give them good rest in this time away from their calling, and make everything well. And do bless us as we seek to make our children good Bible readers. Grant that even this class this morning may be helpful in some small way in that long process of training our children in the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.